Hi, this is Marv Levy, and you're listening to Ryan and Chad on Friendly Confines.
Rhino, thank goodness this is a 162-game season, because this team, oh, what a rough start.
Yeah, luckily, Chad, it's not a 60-game stretch, but oof, it is not looked pretty so far in the first couple of weeks of the season.
We're going to talk about the disappointments. We're going to talk about where is this offense that is supposed to be shining. We're going to talk about some of the bright spots. There are some. And then we're also going to bring it home with part two. What a great interview we have this week.
We absolutely do. We have part two of our interview with Cubs play-by-play announcer from the Marquee Sports Network, Boog Shambi. You don't want to miss that. And that great conversation that we have with him. So stick around, because the Friendly Confines starts right now. Hi, everybody. He's Chad Gordon. I'm Ryan Lieber. And Chad, let's start as we always do in the first inning. And the Cubs, well, let's just say they have gotten off to a rocky start in this 2021 season. How concerned are you right now, just early on into the season, with this baseball team?
I mean, right, you know me. I'm the optimist. I'm always, glass half full. The Cubs are on the way. If they just have a couple balls bounce the right way. I can't say I'm down on this team like it's dire. We're just a couple weeks in. But what I'll share with you is the Pirates aren't a very good team, and the Pirates have three wins. All of those wins are against the Cubs. Bleacher Nation, I believe, put a poll up in like 10,000 people, and it basically said, would you, if you could get a heck of a haul of prospects, would you get rid of Kimbrel and Chris Bryant right now for a huge haul? And like 75% of the respondents said it's time to punt. I'm not there yet, but I'll share with you it's so perplexing to me. Feast or famine. And that's what we've seen for this year so far. It's as if the team just cannot string anything together. And then this team plays all these other teams that don't seem to struggle in the same way. And the Cubs, I think, are just so focused on the long ball. They're not focused on generating anything. This offense looks broken, and it's looked broken for a long time. And I got to tell you, if this holds true, this is going to have a lot of questions to answer for.
No, I mean, I think you've nailed it on every front. And yes, you are a glass half full kind of guy, but I'll be honest with you, Chad. I said this team was going to finish in fourth place. And right now, I still believe they're going to finish in fourth place. It is not a good sign when you lose 2 of 3 to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are a Triple-A team, Chad. Like, this is a team in the Chicago Cubs who we look at in a lineup and think, this team is so explosive. But yet, as you mentioned, they're relying on the long ball way too much. That's the only way they're generating runs. The rotation is still not, come to form in the way that I had expected it to starting the year. And I'm a little concerned right now. I got to be honest. Like, this is not what I envisioned to start the year, especially with what is pretty much a very easy schedule these first several weeks of the season. And right now, I'm a little worried. I have to be honest with you going there.
Well, let's move on to the second inning, and let's do a little bit more of a deep dive. And just coming off the Pirates series, the second Pirates series, I believe the Cubs finished this second series 1-for-23 with runners in scoring position. That isn't going to cut it. Rhino, what is up with this offense? You've got all these guys on contract years. Is it just a slow start? Is it just a little chill in the air and that's affecting things? Will they heat up? Or is this offense going to struggle like this throughout?
Listen, we have heard this story, Chad, for the last several years. As you said, we have a team that you look at players like Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Wilson Contreras, and yet we are not seeing guys who are notable all-star players, play in the way in which we are expecting them to. Now, Rizzo, I'm going to give a pass to, because he's known for kind of getting off to slow starts and then eventually heating up. But I mean, as we said before, they are relying way too much on the long ball. This team getting outscored in the Pittsburgh series 17-7. And the hits, some nights, you know, they're hitting the ball well, and then other nights the bats go silent. When your highest hitter right now is hitting 242, and you have multiple players in your starting lineup hitting under 200, Chad, that's concerning, and that is really upsetting to see. And I can understand why Cub fans are a little nervous right now when it comes to this offense, because you thought, okay, the 60-game season was a little bit of, you know, just it was an aberration. We figure it'll work things out this year. Right now, you would think this team would come out hungrier, but we're not seeing that right now. So I wish I had a better answer for you, Chad, but it is mind-boggling to me to see how bad this team is playing. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, you talked about it being an easy schedule, and I'll give you that, if only because you've seen the Pirates a couple times now, but it's not going to be really easy this month. I mean, it's facing the Brewers three times. The Brewers just manhandled the Cardinals. The Braves, who got off to a slower start, but they're no joke. And then you've got, the Mets, who knows what the Mets are going to be, but they obviously spent a lot of money to be better than they were. I'm disappointed in what I'm seeing in terms of pitch selection. I see like there's a lot of players that are really selling out for the long ball. We're going to get into a deeper dive on kind of the disappointing players we've seen, but the consistency is not there. What I'll share with you, and this is a really quick inning for me, just to say this, who's the one guy so far? You know, we're 9 games as we record this on Sunday. We've got a week ahead of some of games against the Brewers and the Braves before our next recording. But who's the guy in the Cubs lineup that when he steps into the box that you're like, watch this. Like, I'm going to stop. There is not anybody in the order. And you've just got to wonder, is this a slow start situation? Keep in mind, in 2016, the Cubs started on the road. They started on the West Coast. They didn't have to worry about the cold weather. You know, maybe this team is just not built for the cold weather and they better warm back up. Otherwise, they're going to get into a bit of a hole and you've got some really eager teams. You know, the Reds are sneaky good. Milwaukee wants to shock the world. And with a healthy Christian Yelich, they definitely could. And the Cardinals are always going to be there. So, yeah, your prediction of fourth in the division is looking good right now because that's where they are. But if I don't see any of these players, any of these superstars on contract year step it up, it's warning flags all around, and this is going to be a long season.
All right, so let us move on now to the third inning, Chad, and we alluded to him earlier in the podcast as basically the lone bright spot, if you will, maybe one or two other bright spots, but basically the main one is Craig Kimbrel, a guy who basically was just, I mean, left for dead as far as his career was concerned, and Cub fans wanted nothing to do with him. Now, all of a sudden, it seems like the Craig Kimbrel that the Cubs signed 2 seasons ago is looking like the guy who we had hoped for. He has been lights out. He has been unbelievable. Recorded his second save over the weekend, his 350th career save. Chad, as you said, Kimbrel has looked solid. What have you seen from Craig Kimbrel, and what has all of a sudden switched in his pitching staff are his game to make him be the guy that we've all wanted him to be this whole time?
There's an ease to his approach. His velocity is very good in regards to where it was. I mean, we've got to give him a little bit of a pass coming in midway through the year. That's impossibly hard to do by so many people. And then 20 was such a weird year, and he had his struggles here and there. But 19 was, you know, a foundation of rough. You know, it was not the way he wanted to start a season. He has had the ability for the first time since he put on a Cubs uniform to actually start his approach in the offseason, in the winter, do what he normally does, go into spring training and come in the way he wants to. So I kind of give him a bit of a pass because it was such a unique situation in 19 midway through the year and then COVID last year. But the approach that I've seen is confidence, is dominance. It's a guy that's not afraid to go with all of his pitches. I mean, he's as a closer, only limited roles. He has 9 strikeouts, and I think the team lead is 10. But he looks great. It's we're probably going to have a situation here and there where he's not going to shine. But he has looked nothing but solid, and he's the one lone bright spot that I can point to, other than some starting pitchers as well. But what about you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, thankfully, this is the one area that I had concerns about going into the year, and yet this has been the strength of this team when they're in situations where they need their bullpen. as you mentioned, 9 strikeouts. I mean, the guy's only pitched a little over 4 innings. And he has been absolutely amazing. Now, I'm hoping that he gets more opportunities. But, yeah, you know, when you look at this team and you sit here and you try to find positives, he's at the top of the list. So it is great to see. I hope it continues. It's a long time coming, especially with everything he has been through. I just hope that, you know, we are able to get him back on track for the long haul. And then you sit there and you wonder, like you kind of said earlier, depending on where the Cubs are, do you unload him? Do you, you know, hopefully we won't be in that spot. But, you know, he has certainly been tremendous so far through the first few games of this season.
All right, let's move on to the fourth inning and Jake Arrieta. I mentioned this in the first episode we did because I was at opening day. No one got a bigger ovation. No one, not a player on the field got a bigger ovation than Jake when they announced him. Wasn't even starting because Kyle got the nod, but Jake has backed it up. He has been exactly what he needed to be in his first two starts. He's got a couple wins. He's second in strikeouts, you know, along with Kimbrel trailing Hendricks. He's got great velocity. He's hitting his spots. He has seen a resurgence in the Cubby pinstripes. What are you seeing about Jake? He's really showing his stuff.
I have seen a guy who has a chip on his shoulder, Chad, a guy who wants to make sure people remember how great of a pitcher he was when he pitched for the Chicago team, a guy who wants to show people that it was an aberration for his time in Philadelphia, that that wasn't the Jake Arrieta that we've come to know. You know, he has been absolutely tremendous in his two starts, both against the Pirates. You know, he is, as you said, hit his spots. He's gotten out of jams. He has done everything that is needed to do to put the Cubs in a position to win. And I said from the get-go, as you did too, if we were able to see between, you know, 12 to 15 wins from Jake Arrieta, I mean, that would be amazing. And listen, maybe we'll get more. Who knows? But he's off to a great start. I hope he continues to stay healthy. But this is a guy who we know is in amazing physical shape. And I have absolutely no doubt all he wants to do is prove to the doubters that he is far from washed up and that he is still a big-time pitcher. And right now, he's been showing it in his two starts so far.
Yeah, I love what I'm seeing from Jake. He looks like, as you said, just a resurgence. This is a guy who, no matter what happened prior to the Cubs, no what happened in between time without the Cubs, this guy is going to go down as a Cubs legend, you know, 2 World Series wins, you know, that magical period from the summer to the spring between just a couple of starts with 2 no hitters. I mean, he's got this legacy that he absolutely owns, and what he's been able to do. And what I'm excited about, you've talked about the struggles of the pitching, and yes, Davies definitely didn't look good. Williams didn't look good in his second time around, even though he looked lights out in his first. And Adbert, you know, who knows what we're going to get with Adbert. But Hendricks and Arrieta, I like those as a 1-2 punch. They've shown off their stuff, although Hendricks struggled in the opener. I think that was a cold weather grip situation more than anything. But Jake absolutely looks great up there. He just looks right in a Cubs uniform. And again, I think you're going to see a guy that will probably go off into the sunset when that time comes, because Jake and Cubs history are forever intertwined.
All right, so let us move on now to the fifth inning, Chad. And simple question, maybe not a simple answer, but who has been so far the biggest disappointment on this team as you have watched the first games?
You put this on the agenda and we didn't prep on this. We may have the same guy. We may be completely different. You said it may not be a simple answer. For me, it was an obvious answer. And for me, it's Javi Baez. Here's the guy that, what has happened to his approach at the plate? He's swinging from his shoes. And yes, we love it. He's the only guy when they come up to the bat that the fans at Wrigley Field chant his name. He's the only guy that gets that treatment. Only one. And I think he is trying to show off to the crowd, which has worked for him in the past. But we are a ways away from that near MVP season he had, where he felt kind of faltered down the stretch, where he looked more dialed in and he had more plate discipline. What I'm seeing from Javi is a guy, you know, he was the lone source of offense Sunday against the Padres, or the Pirates rather. And in the others, when he looked foolish on three strikeouts. And so it's a guy he epitomizes feast or famine, and his approach is not what I think you want. And the problem is, he's so strong defensively, he's going to get paid, and it is his contract year. But what a tremendous threat he could be if he could put it all together like he did for that one glorious season.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people to choose from. I mean, pick your poison is basically with this answer. And Javi's not a wrong answer. He's definitely not. But Javi's also the only one, in my opinion, that I think has been providing any sort of inkling of offense. You know, he's got 3 home runs. He's got 6 RBIs. He has been striking out a lot, but sadly, he's got the highest average on the team right now, 242. So for me, I'm going to go Anthony Rizzo. You know, look, I understand that Riz usually takes some time to heat up, but my goodness, like, if there's ever a time that he is needed more than ever, especially after he turned down that 5-year, $70 million contract, which, you know, most Cub fans thought was insulting that the Cubs even offered that little to him. And then he's, you know, at the moment of this recording, hits .133 with a home run and 2 RBIs. I mean, that's just, he's your leader. He's the guy who, you know, got to rely on to, like, you know, get the offense moving. And he's just not hitting at all right now. It's just a mess for him. So I got to go with Rizzo. Again, I'm going to say this with, you know, the caveat of, I feel like he is going to turn it around and he is going to get straight eventually when it comes to his hitting. But man, it is just so disappointing to see him at the plate right now. He is absolutely scuffling.
Let's move on to the 6th inning. And, you know, the Cubs were so lucky last year, one of the few teams to not have one single issue with COVID. This year, they've got their positive test, and it is their first base coach, Craig Driver, tested positive. They did contact tracing, deemed that it wasn't necessary to pull anybody else off the field, which typically has happened in the past with other teams. And then here's another thing. So that's one negative thing. The other one is the Cardinals are at 85% minimum of vaccinated players. I got my second shot, my second Pfizer yesterday. I was happy to do it, proud to do it, want to be a part of the solution. The Cubs are not there. And we've heard from some high profile players that, you know what, I can understand if you don't want to do it. That was kind of the summary of those players. So what do you think about the positive test? What do you think about the fact that they're not embracing the vaccines?
It's disappointing. Obviously, you want to make sure that, you know, people do not get COVID, especially people who are older. And somebody in Craig Driver who, you know, I don't know exactly how old he is, but, you know, he's certainly in his 50s or 60s. And so I would like to think that, you know, someone of his age would go out and get the vaccine so he can protect himself. And as you said, you know, the fact that we don't even have 85%, you want to get 100%. But the fact that the Cubs don't even have 85% and that there are players that are opposed to getting the vaccine for whatever reason, it's disappointing. As you said, you've gotten both shots of the vaccine. I've gotten both shots of the vaccine. We're both alive and well to tell about it now. You know, to see what this virus has done to so many people and for people to still, unfortunately, not feel as if it is important to get it, it's disappointing. And when you have a baseball team, especially when not, and we've talked about this before, that so many other people that work in baseball rely on the product on the field, and they're not doing anything and everything that they can to make sure that other people are going to have their jobs the next day is disappointing. And we've talked about the ticket vendors and, you know, the people that serve the food and the people that work around the ballpark and everything. All encompasses if these players get vaccinated, because at the end of the day, they're the product that people are watching. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It makes me upset, but, you know, again, everybody has their own right to do what they feel is best for them, but there is no reason why, if you have access to the vaccine, you should get it 100%.
My favorite part of your answer, and I'm going to respond to the answer, or the question rather, is you just guessed on his age. I was wondering, did you look at a photo of this guy? This guy looks very young. And so you threw out like 40 or 50. He's 32 years old. So let's not age Mr. Driver. Yeah, wow. 32, looks good. He's in pretty good shape. So he looks like he could strap it on and get out on the field. So you'll correct me as you do whenever you want. I'm okay with that. But Ronno, you know, and our listeners may or may not know, but I was away from the show for a few weeks. And that is because my family was hit very directly, very, very intently by COVID. And so I see the responsibility of what we need to do to protect those that may not be able to protect themselves because they're older. They have different immune systems. Like my mother, has very, very fouled immune system and she succumbed and struggled and is still recovering. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. It's our reality. We don't know of any stories around recklessness, by Driver. We don't know that. We just know what happened. I found it interesting. Jason Hayward, one of the most high profile players, I think, you know, in terms of outspoken and kind of the de facto leader of the team. When you think about like who welcomes players to the team when they come on board, Jason's kind of taken that mantle on. He basically said, I'm okay if people don't take the vaccine. And he didn't elaborate more on that about why he would do that or if he was going to do it or not do it. But he said he wasn't jumping at taking it. And so I wonder how much more, how much that's had an effect on it. But yeah, the Cardinals got into 85% territory right away. And the fact that it is available to them and they can get vaccinated so they can go out and play. And then the livelihoods of everybody else at a full Wrigley Field, what that gives people and what gives the community and what gives people's, you know, their livelihood is so important. And so my hope is, no one's health is succumbed by this in long term. And the Cubs can get through the rest of the season with only this being their scare. And we can get more and more beyond that 25% capacity at Wrigley Field.
And now part two of the boys interview with Boog Shambi.
I remember when we did our episode of the podcast talking about Len leaving. And then, of course, we asked the question, who would you want? But I think a lot of people, maybe even including yourself, thought it's a pipe dream to get Boog. There's no chance that they'd be able to get Boog. And so did you even think for a moment when this all first started, you were like, oh, wow, like, yeah, this actually could work initially because you maybe didn't think about it as it being a possibility?
Yeah, it's weird. I just didn't. I guess I just got into a place where I'd sort of frame myself as a national guy and I didn't, I didn't think about it until I did. And then when I thought about it and really thought of all the things that, you know, that go with it, it really started to excite me. So it was neat how it kind of played out. It just, it was, the process was pretty cool.
Boog, is there, you talked about obviously doing the national games, doing ESPN, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're still going to be doing some stuff for ESPN throughout the season.
Probably, you know, a good chunk of the Sundays on the radio. And then, I mean, I still think there's an outside chance of expanded playoffs. It's pretty amazing to say that, but you know, we're a little more than a week away from the start of the season. I'm not saying I put it above 50%, but I think it's a possibility. If that happens, they'll likely be on ESPN. If that happens, I'll probably call some playoffs on TV and then playoffs on the radio. And, you know, ultimately, I really still would like to call the World Series. So that's a big part of it.
We're talking with Boog Shambi, of course, the new TV voice of the Chicago Cubs, taking some time to chat with us here on the seventh inning stretch. Boog, I'm curious if there is at all any sort of like tweaks you need to make going from being a national guy to a local guy. Is there anything that you have needed to do to kind of feel more comfortable in that role? Or is it you're going to be the same guy that we're used to seeing in the ESPN broadcast?
I think you're going to be... It's going to be pretty similar. I think the only thing, I think the only thing that I've got to kind of monitor is my look, it's a good thing. I feel like my judgment for what's interesting is one of my, you know, kind of guiding principles. That said, you've got to find that sort of line in terms of I can't do two innings on how Dallas Keuchel approaches his, you know, pitching on a Cubs broadcast, because right. they'll lose their mind. You know what I'm saying? Whereas on a national broadcast, you can – I mean, that's one of those where on a national broadcast, you know, they get cranky and say you're biased. But it's just – it's simply following what's interesting. But it's still got to be, you know, more towards – Cubs stuff. So, I mean, we could talk about the guys on the other side, but like the way my mind works is that when I'm broadcasting a game, I'm going towards, yeah, the most interesting pieces on the field. And I gotta just recognize that you can't overdo it on the other team.
Of course. Of course.
Now let's talk about the team as we enter the 2021 season. I'm just curious what your thoughts are when you have so far seen this team in spring training entering the new year. Obviously, there were a lot of changes, and there's a lot of fans that are maybe not excited about going into the year. But you feel like this is going to be a competitive ball club. What have you seen so far from this team that gives you maybe an inkling to say this team could be better than what some people suggest?
You know, look, spring training is hard. I would caution this, that like last year, the Dodgers are the champs and they had a great team. But if you're really trying to figure stuff out and based, you know, on last year, it's not really a season. Like Chris Bryant, I know this is hard, but yeah, Chris Bryant didn't have a bad season. He played 34 games. I mean, any other year, like, you can easily survive a bad 34-game stretch because you're probably going to have a really good 34-game stretch going the other way. So I think it was weird how they didn't score. I think they should score more this year. Last year, they were 10th in the league in runs per game. I would say they should be in the top six in runs per game. That would be my guess with this lineup. I think they'll catch it really well. I think the question just becomes, what level is their pitching? How good can it be when we know it's going to be a little more contact-oriented than strikeout-oriented? So, look, Kyle Hendricks isn't a strikeout guy per se, but he's elite. Zach Davies isn't a strikeout guy, but he's quite good. I think that on the high end, this is a team that could compete for the division, because I think the central of the three divisions is the worst of the three divisions. And I think that the Cubs will have a chance to win the Central. I think on the high end, I think that, you know, this is a team that could be, you know, pretty good. I think that, you know, even if it's not great, the Cubs being bad, I don't think that's important.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you on that. I may be a lone wolf on this, Boog, but I thought, and I've said this on the podcast, that I think this pitching rotation, at least the starting staff, 1 through 5, is better than it was last year. Am I crazy for saying that, or is there some validity to that at all? It's okay if I'm nuts. It's okay.
No, it's not nuts. I mean, it just sort of depends on how you define it. I mean, like, again, you're talking about, you know, 12 Darvish starts balancing out other stuff. Do I think that they're going to get, there's a chance to have, you know, individual quality performances? Yeah, probably. Will that play itself out to, you know, a lower team ERA? I'm not sure about that. I'm not being kind here, but if I were to, I mean, if again, you're, however you want to do it, like, Yu Darvish is part of it. So do I think that they will put up a number equivalent or better to last year. If they put up a number equivalent or better to last year, they'll win the division.
We're finishing up here with Boog Shambi. And, John, I'll finish with this. So much has changed when it comes to the way we are broadcasting games today, and people are not in the booth 100% of the time. I'm curious what that will look like this year. I obviously the home games will be there. Have you been told what the road games will look like yet and how that will be manifesting throughout the season?
No, not yet. And I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. I don't know how it'll play out. My guess is that we will travel at some juncture. I mean, my guess as well is that the players will end up being vaccinated at some point pretty soon. You know, I'm hoping to get my first shot in the next couple of days. So that's, I couldn't say. I think there are going to be big changes, but I think at least for the Cubs, I know that Marquee Sports and the Cubs are interested in us traveling and trying to put on the best product, you know, that they possibly can. I think for the future of the industry, it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. But if I were to guess, I think we'll be traveling for road games before the All-Star break.
And once again, our thanks to Boog Shambi, who joined us. You can find Boog on Twitter at Boog Shambi. It was so great to talk to him and get his insights on the season. And obviously, we spoke to Boog right before the season started,
but
it was nice of him to take some time to chat with us. And we, of course, wish him the best as he is embarking.
Such a great guy. It's so cool when we get a hold of these guys and they're like, absolutely when and where. I mean, it just shows how much. And man, I was so ticked. I was in the hospital with my mom and we couldn't get me on the recording. But you did such a great job with the Rhino. So great
Thank
job pulling him. Can't wait for the next visit, the next interviews we have lined up.
Yeah, without a doubt. And so with that, make sure you can find Boog at Boog Shambi on Twitter. You can find me and Chad on Twitter as well. I am at Ryan D. Lieber. Chad is at the Chad Gordon. Plus our Chicago Cubs Friendly Confines Facebook page. Make sure you're part of the conversation. Join and be a part of it. We always love to hear from you.
And Rhino, we're bona fide. We're going to have a huge launch, but life got in the way a little bit. But we're up. We have the website. Go to theconfines.com. That's theconfines.com. That's your spot to where you can see the latest blog posts. You can see all the different podcasts that go up there. And if you scroll all the way to the bottom, at the very bottom, you can sign up for the newsletter. All that does, and you can choose if you want frequency every time there's a post, or if you want a weekly frequency or even monthly, it'll let you know when new content dropped. We're going to do a lot more there. We're going to do some contests, but make sure you go today, right now. Go to theconfines.com, scroll to the very bottom, and sign up for our newsletter.
Awesome stuff. All right. So let us move on now to the eighth inning, Chad. And you want to talk about a fun story. Andrew Chafin, who, of course, is known to Cub fans as this guy who has this Rod Beck-like mustache. He's certainly a fan favorite. And he is somebody that, you know, isn't afraid to put it out there. He's on Twitter. And if his Twitter handle, Chad, gives you any sort of idea of what kind of guy he is, it's at BigCountry1739. I just love that Twitter handle.
Yes.
So to give you the setup of the story, Chafin sent out a tweet over the weekend asking Cubs fans if anyone would be able to get him a beater to drive around the city. He said his truck is too big to get around the city in. So he wants to pay $2,000 for just any car. And the best part is he's willing to toss in free Cubs tickets to anyone that can get him a great deal on the car. So you can imagine, Chad, all the people that responded to this and wanted to help him out, or, you know, see if they could hook him up so they could get tickets. You know, the world we live in, am I right? How cool is it that when players can connect with fans on social media to try and get a car out of this? What do you think about the way that Andrew Chafin is getting a car? I think I'm more actually shocked by the fact that he only will pay $2,000 for the car. I mean, listen, he's making Major League Baseball money. He thought he could go out and maybe get like a nicer car or something like that. I don't know. I was a little surprised. What about you?
I love it. I love everything about this story. You missed that one key part. He goes, it has to be a manual. So not only is he on a $2,000 budget, he wants to have a stick shift around the city, which is hilarious because there are stretches of the city you do not want to be shifting up and down and having all that fun. But I love this story. He's my new favorite Cubs player. His strut, his physique, his facial hair. I mean, he just, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. He should either be doing 80s porn with Ron Jeremy, or he should be doing, you know, like a 70, he like should be an extra, like a thug on a Smokey and the Bandit movie in the 70s. Like, it's just perfect. He's central casting. He's the Cubs we didn't know. He's the Cubs player, pitcher, reliever that we didn't know we needed. And I think we deserve. I love the interaction with the fans. I love that he's out there commenting back and forth. And it just, it's a fun way. And Twitter can be so great when it's light. You know, if you look at Albert Alzolay, oh my gosh, that guy every day posts, I've got to get him on the show. And I know somebody that lives in his building. We got to get him on the show. I know we got to go through the Cubs, but every time, every day on Twitter, he posts something inspirational. He just tells people, hey, keep your head up. You know, this is going to be a good day. You know, and Chafin is like, hey, what are you guys, what are you knuckleheads doing? My truck's way too big. I got this, like, probably like a Super Duty. You can't even turn around, you know, turn from Lincoln onto Clark. And he's asking for, like, you know, like a Hyundai, you know, a $2,000 Hyundai. I love it. I love the interaction. He was getting into the comments and saying yes or no to what people are offering up. It was awesome. I love reading the thread. I'm going to go back into this after this interview. What'd you think?
No, it was pretty cool. Everybody was pretty excited about it. So apparently one guy responded to him and said he had a 1999 blue Jeep, and Chafin responded with DM me the details. So I don't know if that turned out to be the car, and we don't have an update on that, but I would love to know at some point, you know, if this does work out, if Twitter was ultimately the way that he was able to find himself some wheels for $2,000. I just think that's so great. So, yeah, listen, this guy, he seems like a lot of fun. He seems like the type of guy we'd love to have on our podcast. And I'm really now kind of interested to see if, you know, this is, you know, something that turns out to be a success for him. Yeah, I mean, one guy asked if he wanted a 2006 Mini Cooper, and Andrew Chafin was all in on it. But, you know, he's really responsive with the fans. I'm kind of going through all the tweets right now, and it's just cool to see. Listen, people love when players interact with them. And when you got a guy like Chafin, who seems like a really awesome guy, it just makes it that much more fun.
I just checked. The Major League minimum salary rose $7,000 to $570,000 and $500. So he's going to pull in minimum. I don't know this guy. I could have looked it up. I'm being lazy, but if he's making the minimum, he's making $500,000, and he doesn't want to spend more than $2,000.
That's what I thought. A real I love it. A Hyundai Sonata or something like that. I don't know.
My first car was like $3,400, and it was a piece of crap, Pontiac Sunbird that was a manual with a crappy paint job. I don't know how you get a car that's reliable for $2,000, but I love the idea of him driving a blue Jeep around where, like, you know, he probably just takes the drain pans out. If it rains, it rains, and he just drives it back and forth. This is a great story. We need updates on this, and we will. We'll bring
definitely
it to
our needs follow
as well. Let's move on. Yeah, let's move on to the ninth inning. I love this story, Ryan. You know what? The federal landmark, which we're seeing that term thrown around a lot on Twitter. You know, Wrigley Field is the federal landmark. It's a place of immense history, you know, 107 years of history. And it is, so many players have called that stadium home. And to be immortalized in that stadium, only a few have really, truly. There's flags up on the flagpoles for the, you know, the Hall of Famers with retired numbers. There's names and nicknames and numbers ringing the stadium. But there are just a few stadiums, statues rather, that ring the stadium, and one more is going to be added, and I couldn't be more excited. Fergie Jenkins, one of the most dominant pitchers of his time, a tremendous Hall of Fame player with quite a backstory, domination. His stats just don't make sense because it was a different era, but tremendous domination. He is going to have a statue. He said he was so proud that people would say, meet me at the Fergie statue. Rana, what do you think about this tremendous honor for Mr.
You know, Davis? It's nice to see that the Cubs are doing their due diligence when it comes to honoring the greats that have, you know, done so many wonderful things over the course of the franchise's, you know, years in the making. And I think there's other players that, you know, certainly you can think of that they could make statues for as well. But Fergie obviously represented a generation. You know, you can make the case for a generation of fans that the 1969 team, which Fergie was a prominent team member of, is maybe the most popular team of all time in Cubs history, even though they never made the playoffs, obviously, you know, had the famous collapse. So, you know, look, he's arguably the greatest Cubs pitcher of all time. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a tremendous ambassador for this team, and he will join Ernie Banks and Harry Carey now having their statue. I and Billy Williams, excuse me, and Ron Santo, I should say, I would like to also put on there that I feel like somebody like Ryne Sandberg should be next when it comes to having a statue for them, in my opinion. I think he's like the next guy that makes the most sense of having his own statue. I don't know how many statues the Cubs are looking to make, but Sandberg to me would be the next obvious choice of somebody who deserves a statue when it comes to getting that opportunity. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. But I think statues aren't a young man's game. And Rhino isn't necessarily a young man anymore. But I think it's something you do kind of in the silver years of someone's life. You know, you don't do it so close. And he hasn't played and he hasn't strapped on the uniform in a really long time. But, yeah, I think there will definitely be a time when Sandberg is honored outside. I think, you know, with him leaving to manage elsewhere, I think him coming back into the fold, I think there's this period where it's going to happen. Here's what I'll say about Fergie. I always tick people off when I say this. He should be the only number 31 retired. That should be it. Greg Maddux is a Hall of Famer for the Atlanta Braves. His best years, his most dominant years, his career, his impact on the game was with the Braves. And so to see Jenkins and Maddux, both of the 31, I just think that you should have made a choice, but Maddux had such a huge impact for when he did play here early on, and then he came back and kind of finished things out. Jenkins for me is the true number 31 because he really had his domination, had his incredible stats mainly for the Chicago Cubs, and I'm very proud to know that he's going to be added to the legends that are immortalized with statues, as you mentioned, all of them. And I can't wait to say that to a buddy. Hey, let's bring in Fergie, and we'll know where.
Yeah,
that
no, you're 100% right on about that. I would just add, and we can save this for another episode, I suppose. But I would just add that I think, with all the statues and the Cubs doing such a great job of honoring their greats, that they just need to come to a head already with Sammy Sosa, because to not have him honored amongst the great Cubs of all time.
Who's going to blink first?
Right.
It truly is who's going to blink first. And right now, Sammy, still his ego and his super, you know, he's like Superman in his mind. And I think he has to show contrition and he has to come to the Ricketts in a way he hasn't come, because the Ricketts, I think, are waiting for him to show a little bit of humbleness. But I agree. Sammy Sosa, to me, is my lifetime, is the most important, one of the most important players for a long period. He was amazing. I agree with you.
All right. So with all that, that is going to wrap things up on this edition of the Friendly Confines. For Chad, I am Ryan. And once again, our thanks to Boog Shambi. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. Have a good one.
Don't let anyone say that it's just a game, for I've seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed. The first time you walk into Wrigley.